This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo! Hey.
Hey. Shut up. Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
What's happening?
It was kind of hard to do.
Oh, there we go.
Everybody is raising their hand.
Is this what we watched?
Oh, it is what we watched. Hey, awesome. Welcome in, everybody. Everyone. Well, I guess technically it's not what we watched. That's the royal what we watched.
That's the,
everything
like,
is
umbrella
what we
company of yes. What this is movie club.
Yes, but it is movie club. We have we are doing the second week of June for movie club. A little bit of emergency pod, kind of, you know,
woo.
As I've mentioned many, many times. Everybody's busy and nobody likes me. So we are doing a last minute. We didn't talk about that we were going to do this. We didn't mention the movie, but I personally think, which we'll get to that into it in a second, that I think this is like when I think of outdoor movies, this is like one of the first ones that comes to my mind.
Gotcha.
Into the Wild. Nice. 2007, Into the Wild, brought to you by Sean freaking Penn and Emil Hirsch. But yeah, this is like one of a very big, iconic, I don't know if it'd be a cult classic.
I mean, I've heard of it over the years. This is my first viewing of it.
I know. I imagine,
but
that's
like
it's
one of those movies that you just like almost cannot hear. Like you've heard the name somewhere at some point.
Yes, I know, right? It's got to be so much in pop culture in general. Yeah, it made like 56 mil in the box office. Granted, that possibly could be the more than the budget still.
Interesting. Okay, because I mean the budget itself, like it's hard to tell, but like. The fanciest things about it felt like it was the cinematography to me.
The, yeah, probably. Supposedly, not supposedly. They said they did 4 trips to Alaska for all the seasons.
Sick.
I know, right? And then they did not shoot on the original bus, Magic Bus, out of, like, respect, I guess, for the family and all the people. Mm. So they just recreated the bus.
Yeah, like the look of it, kind of, and
yes, I think that they just like built. I don't know if they built it in the wilderness somewhere else to like match it, yeah. But yeah, I mean that would cost a couple bucks, but other than that, yeah, dude, I mean,
just go to the junkyard. It's like, hey, there's a bus that kind of looks like it.
It doesn't really need to hold.
How much do you
want?
$10.
Oh yeah, it costs $15 million for the budget. The budget was $15 million.
Nice.
I mean, but anyway, so we are talking. Before that, though, you've been having a bad day today, right, Jeff?
I wouldn't say it was necessarily bad, but it was eventful.
Eventful.
Was on my way to a shoot that I've had scheduled for a little while now. And as you know, I just saw you at work like yesterday evening.
I know.
Everything's fine. I get up this morning, have my truck all loaded, ready to go, and it doesn't start.
Oof.
And it was just like, good thing I was like trying to start it and I like get there a little early, because then as soon as I found that out, I was like, called my
Hello,
buddy. I called my buddy that's like, I'm kind of on the way for, there was a lot of fortunate circumstances. I was on the way for him to go to this shoot location. So I was like, hey, my car's not starting and I have all this shit. Are you able to come at least jump me?
Yeah, you're fairly important to be there.
I have all the cameras, all the lights. Let's just say I have all the equipment.
you have the set.
Yes. But yeah, so then anyways, he's...
How early was it?
I was about to leave. It was a 7 a.m. call, so I was about to head out at like think it was like 6:20 or something like
Gross.
That.
Gross.
But the shoot was like the location was only like 15-20 minutes from me, so I just wanted to get there early
okay,
to start dumping some stuff.
You could have walked, bugging people. God,
just pulled my truck behind me with all the stuff.
What happened to? Well, you had that wagon, that powered fucking wagon thing, didn't you?
Powered wagon? I don't know
no,
about
I
powered.
I know what it was.
Powered by me.
Yeah.
But
I'm still correct technically.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff though. But then we crammed it all into his tiny Subaru because apparently jumping a battery was not an option. Like I got some electrical back during the jumping process, but it didn't actually like turn over and start. So
that's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I'm trying to get it in tomorrow. And
do you have an appointment and you've called a tow truck or do you need?
I basically
you have everything scheduled.
Yes, I have the appointment and the tow truck scheduled to take me in and get it done as soon as possible. So
nice. Well, hopefully that works. Hopefully it's not a greater problem because we have to go camping in.
I know.
10
Brandon's
going
to have to drive me.
That's depressing if you're relying on Brandon's car to go anywhere. God, that's so funny. Was your shoot outside or was
it
an
inside.
Indoor shoot? Okay.
Thankfully,
because
okay. It was
say,
hot as hell outside.
Hell yeah,
today.
It was, dude. I was out, I went out today also. It was like 90 something. It was, it felt
it's
awesome.
Summer. If it's officially, dude. It feels like summer.
Yeah, especially the disc golf course I went to, like down the street, has a bunch of sand and a lot of aesthetic like New Mexico, Arizona. I felt like I was walking around in like Arizona or Utah or something like that.
Just in this movie, throwing a disc. It was basically you, just minus the disc, right?
Of course, totally. Other than I'm not, you know, insane and I wasn't going to like kill myself.
I have a lot of like notes about this dude and like his decision
making. All right, so
well,
let's jump in. Let's jump in. We are doing Into the Wild today. I kind of gave a little spiel. Well, I'm just going to count this as Matt's pick, second
yeah,
pick,
this is your
slash
unofficial
first pick,
second pick for sure.
Technically, next week will be my other pick. So I get back-to-back weeks. Woo woo.
Yep. Oh, I pitched Matt hand. Swiss Army Man, but he didn't want to go for it.
I'm going to ask you your opinions on the whole thing. I'm going to ask if you wish we had watched Swiss Army Man. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a big cult classic. It really like, and we'll get into the movie, how well it's necessarily made. This is not a movie that I think stays around in pop culture and film history and the outdoors community because of how like well the movie is made necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's much more of like the themes and the stories and what they cover and the kind of people that they portray that really latches on to everybody rather than, you know, all the amazing film and acting and this. Not that there wasn't some.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing that latches on story-wise and theme-wise instead. So this is your first time watching it.
This is,
What was your overall thoughts on it?
I mean, whoa, hold on.
You're fine.
What just happened?
I understand that was a very confusing question.
No.
I apologize. I should have gave you prep work. Hey, you're in my notepad.
How did I get into this? But anyways, back to your original question you had for me.
Who knows what was in from there? So Jeff, now that you're out of my notes, what was your overall thoughts?
Yeah,
this is the first time you've seen it.
No, it was a very interesting movie. Like, a lot of fun just to see all the outdoorsy stuff. Like, it very much was an outdoorsy movie with all these exterior locations and whatnot. That was a lot of fun to see. The cinematography stuck out to me a bit, too, for being like a 2007 or so. Mm-hmm. They did some interesting stuff with lensing as well as, I mean, even editing. There was some stuff we can get into about editing, which was fun. But and it looks like they shot it all on film to me as well.
The camera kind of felt home video ish.
Some stuff, yeah. And they pushed it a little further in some places than others, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had also felt very old school to me because I feel like we don't get as many, you know, lack of a better term, long lens shots from like, you know, from far away, whether it's even if it's not Zooms, we still like, I feel like we don't have your primary shot being long lenses anymore. We're just much more in everybody's faces, which there still was. There was still a lot of like close ups and whatnot.
Yeah.
My whole computer and camera just hates everything. It keeps doing the flash. If it's not doing the flash, it's doing the flickering. I apologize, everybody. Whatever. But yeah, so it felt really old school to me with all the
Matt. Oh my gosh. You're turning into Brandon, except it's just shutting off completely.
My whole computer flickered.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, I know, right? What was I talking about?
We were talking about the long lenses, cinematography. You don't see that very often anymore.
Yeah, so what would be some of the... You said you're very interested in some of the styles that they did.
Yeah, I mean, some of them were, like, they just did a bunch of different things. Like, some of the stuff was, like, very obscure framing, where, like, in combination, let's say, with one of the shots of a long lens, there was one that he was kayaking down, like, the Colorado River, and it was, like, out of focus, but then you had some foreground of the water as well as background of the water all in the same river, and you like you see this image of like something going up and down, and then as it get like moves, you start realizing it's him kayaking on the river.
Yeah.
Like a lot of obscure shots like that. I remember one with Ron where it was like in the the whole scene was in the dining room table where they were talking, and they're on like the left third of the frame the entire time while the rest of it's just foreground elements. And when he's tripping out towards the end, it's like this really interesting warped vignette of lenses that going on. Like, that's why I feel like most of their budget went through towards the cameras and lenses, and they were just like, let's go to Alaska. Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah. They did do a lot of, flickering's back, Jeff. They did a lot of, work to like, it feels like to separate him from everything else. It did the double whammy. It flickered and then it did the light lens flare.
You have like a show going on.
Oh my God, dude. I'm on the struggle. To separate him from like when he's in like regular society a lot. I'm trying to think one of the scenes where it's him, his sister, and his parents after graduation, and they kept shooting close-ups on the other three. And then they would sprinkle in a close-up here and there on Chris. But predominantly, they would shoot him, not even over the shoulder of the mom. They would shoot, like, from the next table. And it would include, like, everybody was in the frame still. And it wasn't just his frame. Which I'm assuming, you know, to put into his, to really, like, express his mindset, which... I think the camera work and the editing, they did a good job of really expressing his turmoil and, you know, the things that he is going through. And
yeah, it was interesting. Mindset. And yeah, I mean, going into editing a bit more too, there was one scene that stuck out the most to me was when he went back to the city after Mexico. And it almost reminded me of Civil War in the sense of when like they would be playing it and it'd be skippy and then all of a sudden like freeze frame on a shot. It almost felt like it was taking pictures while he was roaming around and seeing like the slums.
And felt like my computer.
Yeah. Like crazy glitch. Shit was going on. Crazy editing you have going on your side.
Cool. This film was nominated, didn't win, but it was nominated for 2 Oscars. Do you know what the 2 were, or you want to take a guess?
Cinematography and editing.
editing and Ron? Best supporting actor.
Ooh, yep. Dude, I was just thinking that like there was that scene in the car when he asked to adopt him, and I was just like, that's why you saw my note. It said poor Ron, and I put an emoji.
I didn't even know his name was Ron. Also, they did not do a great job of like the names and stuff.
I had subtitles going, so that's how I knew.
That's good. I mean, they said Ron said this. His real name is Hal Holbrook. He was nominated. He did die a couple years ago. I mean, he's a fantastic he's a fantastic actor. But that's a good way to roll into what did you think about, because I think we had a wide variety of acting. But what did you think of the acting overall?
I mean, I thought the acting was fine. Nothing stuck out to me. Like he played generally what I would expect from like a young guy, like kid, basically, like going out and doing all this stuff. Like it felt like in ways a little awkward sometimes, but I think that was appropriate for what feels like real life a bit too. Again, like, because of my note that said poor Ron, like his acting did stick out to me more than anybody's. But it was also interesting seeing some of those well-known actors, yes, that haven't like necessarily, this was a lot of the, like a lot of them were early careers in this movie.
Yeah, I think Vince Vaughn's one who I think he was fairly established by this time. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like Wedding Crashers was probably around 05.
Yeah, and then like Dodgeball and all that stuff too.
Yep. So I thought he did a pretty good job also. Yeah, I really liked
him
in
a serious role too.
Yes, that's very true. Ron did great. Vince Vaughn. Kristen Stewart barely did anything, you know.
I mean,
acting was,
I will say,
whatever.
This being my first viewing of this film and then seeing hers, like, this might have been one of her first things, as far as I know.
I think so. I'm going to look it up right now, but I'm pretty sure it was pretty damn early.
Yeah, but she still had, like, a lot of her same mannerisms that I've seen in all of her movies, like, brushing her hair back, the little, like, mouth smile thing. Like, she definitely has, like, a style that is hers, which is really interesting.
Yeah, she definitely has a style, and I mean, this is one of the roles where she is well cast. Wow, she did a lot of stuff, not a ton of big stuff. Maybe Panic Room would be Zathura. Yeah, that one, Space Adventure.
She did that one
in 05.
Interesting.
And then this one.
Okay.
And then Jumper is pretty big in 08, and then 08 was Twilight also.
I didn't even know she was
I know, me neither. When she, IMDb told me, so maybe they're liars.
Must be true.
they know how much I trust them. She got cast into her role. Like, you know, it was good casting, so I thought the acting worked and everything that. There's another, her sister, Chris's sister, not... Kristen's sister.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Amelia. Yeah, she was in
Hunger Games.
Yes, and also more recently that we saw was in Love Lies Bleeding.
She was
James Franco's wife. She was that sister.
No way! Oh my god, I did not recognize her.
Yep, she's back in it.
Because from Hunger Games, I remember her character from the Hunger Games.
Yeah,
and
no
her voice was like so ingrained in my head that every time I heard her voice in this movie, I was like, it's the Hunger Games girl.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch a ton of Hunger Games.
She was
kind of
crazy in that movie.
I obviously knew her from Love Lies Bleeding. there's another sighting of a random actress. I don't know if you recognize it because you're watching New Girl right now. Oh, you just finished New Girl.
Uh-huh.
So there is a very small part for Schmidt's college girlfriend that then he's dating while Cece's getting married.
I remember her, but I don't remember who she was in this movie.
She was the manager at Burger King, where she was like, hey, you're doing a great job. I really want to get you money for Alaska, but you're going to need to put socks on.
Nice. That's funny. There's a huge cast list in this.
Dude, wow. I'm not done. Also, there's Zach Galifianakis.
I was going to say, I saw his name on the poster.
It's the weirdest. It's like they were trying to hide him. I don't understand it.
Where was he?
Kevin.
Hiding him and then put his name on the poster.
Yeah, he was the guy that they... he asked about like skinning, animals. Yeah, that's Galifianakis, which I don't understand. They had his hat down, big old beard. They really like felt like they were trying to like cover up his face for some reason.
Interesting. He's the one that gave him that note that was just like, it's like, if the flies get on it, it's done, right?
Yes, basically. I know, right? That was the most important one. Flies start getting on all those maggots. Apparently, none of the lines he said were written. Like, his character didn't have any lines in the original script. Those are all just ad-libbed,
who,
apparently.
Zach? Galifianakis?
Yes. Kevin.
I'll just, yeah, that's easier.
Yes. Let's see, what else is there? There's also the guy they did a they casted a couple real life people also. The that weird dude talking about the Salvation Mountain. You know, he's like, oh, I really believe in love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the real guy. Okay. So he played himself like a weirdo. No offense. I like the guy was like, I forgot. They asked him where'd you get the telephone poles? And then he just started talking about love. And it was like,
yeah.
I hope that answered your question. Like, no.
I would love the idea of them just going in there like a documentary. They're just like, hey, we're shooting this film. We'd love if like we could use this space. You're welcome to talk about it and show us some stuff. And then just the actors kind of just start talking. Like, because I've been in some situations where the like hired actors will just like kind of go into these like scenes that we're trying to create. And then they just start talking with the people that are actually doing, say, their work or something or other.
Oh, really?
And then they just kind of go along with it. Like,
just go on. Yeah. It's smart. I imagine that's what they had to have done that.
Yeah. And then he's like, come on, let's go put our hands in this goop over here.
Thank God the cameras are rolling and they had microphones and they had everything ready. Let's see what else. Also, the dude at the very beginning, his name is Jim Galeon. The guy who gave Chris the rubber boots when they got out of the truck.
The mudders.
That is 100%. That's the guy who actually dropped off Chris. His full name is what? What was it? Chris
McCandless.
Chris McCandless.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris McCandless. He's the real guy who dropped off Chris McCandless at that spot. So he played himself also.
Interesting.
And then the last one I got is the Rainey and Jan. What'd you think about their acting?
They were the hippie couple
in the that were traveling around and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've always the few things I've seen the actress that played Jan in, like
Catherine,
I remember her
Keener.
From 40-Year-Old Virgin and stuff like that too. I've always thought she's done a solid job. I don't know.
She is fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you recognize the other guy?
No, I didn't recognize him. What's he from?
You did not, because he is a,
he played himself.
He was originally hired as a technical consultant for the whitewater rafting scenes. And Emil Hirsch suggested him for the role. So they hired him. They casted him as Rainey after the fact when he was showed up for the whitewater rafting. And they just liked him, I guess. Huh. I don't know.
So does that mean they shot the white
pretty damn good job?
Does that mean they shot the whitewater rafting first, and then Emil was just like, "Hey, we gotta make this guy a character."
That's what it sounds like. And of course, they shot the whitewater rafting first because time doesn't work the other way around. So it would be insane to me.
Oh, am I getting the timeline mixed up?
No, I mean, if he was there for the whitewater rafting and then they cast him,
yes,
they definitely shot the whitewater rafting first, then the other stuff.
Sure. Okay.
Guys, I don't know who this guy is. I have a feeling he's going to help us out in the future, but I'm going to just show him up. He's showing up to act anyways. We'll figure it out later.
He doesn't even need to act. He just needs to talk to me.
For real. I mean, that's what it seemed. A lot of the dialogue was pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm. Felt natural.
It felt pretty natural. Every once in a while there were some like obvious movie lines, I feel like, but it wasn't awful. It felt natural. It felt a little like real, which really rolls into the, you know, the cinematography. Mm-hmm. And the story was a very real story. I'm sure it was played up for the movies. I don't know necessarily. I don't know the entire story. As far as I know, it, you know, more or less was pretty damn what they portrayed it. Mm-hmm. But I like the style, and I like the whole realism that the whole movie put together.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. Because I mean, even in you saying that, there's a scene that I remember pretty vividly. Was like, again, when he gets back from Mexico and is in the city and talking to that person. I forget what the facility was, but he was like almost going to stay the night there and get a bed and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's talking to her, there's like a random thump that happens in the back. She turns her head, and then someone's just like, I'm good. Yes. Like, I wonder if that was
What's going on back there?
The first thought, it was like, that felt very natural and real. And I, in my head, I was just like, I wonder if that was planned or not. Like, it just felt really real.
It would be. I mean, and based off of Zach Galifianakis, all of his lines being ad-libbed, I could totally see. And that just be the whole vibe. It would make sense. Because, I mean, that checks out with Galifianakis making his shit up. Mm-hmm. The one weird love dude who was playing himself. I'm sure that was just a normal
conversation. The love dude.
Quote, unquote, normal conversation. Can you imagine us going there and then having that conversation with the guy? I'm like, God, I want to leave.
Yeah.
At least leave me alone, sir. Please don't show up to my campsite tonight. I will flip out.
Yeah, like, I feel like Kristen Stewart's, like, reactions were like almost I really kind of want to believe that was like a just like they threw them in there and were just rolling because she like kept looking at she was like
she just
looking at Emil and then he'd say something and then she just like kind of laugh and look off to the side and just like it felt very real.
She's a fantastic actress. You don't know
only from Twilight.
it was a very slow story style and pacing was fucking slow, especially for 2.5 hours. Holy shit.
Yeah. But it was also, I don't know. For me, it felt different just because it was a first viewing. So I was just like, taking in, soaking it all in.
I guess when I watch it, I kind of like watch with milestones. All right, this is when this happens.
Yeah.
This is
like
when
you
that
knew
happens.
What was supposed to be coming for sure. Mm-hmm.
More or less. I mean, it's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've seen
it.
Gotcha. This is not one I watch on the reg. In my mind, it just lives in my mind because it's more of a mindset. Like, let's talk about the whole, because it's based on a true story. Chris Candlelis. McCandle.
McCandless.
That one.
Not candles. McCandless.
Chris McDonald's. he really graduated from college and then basically, you know, disappeared. He graduated in 1990 and then he drove across the country in his shitty car without car insurance, without a license, with expired tags.
Nice.
His car broke down. I want to say it was somewhere in Colorado.
Oh,
and then I think he hitchhiked to Arizona, but then he bounced around until he eventually made it to Alaska in 1992. So like two years later, April of 1992, he walked out into Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And then he apparently, supposedly, once he found the bus, which thank God he found the bus.
Yeah.
That fucker would have been dead in a week if he didn't find that bus. he lived 117 days, I think.
Okay.
114-ish days, a little over 100 days, and then died of what, you know, the speculation is starvation.
Yeah.
You know, whether he accidentally poisoned himself or not, they deemed it, you know, starvation.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
dude,
I don't know.
This is based on my recent experience of going to Alaska, but it's like fucking no joke being out there in those forests.
Dude.
Like the mosquitoes are fucking relentless out there. Not a lot of people really talk about the mosquitoes, dude, but they're insane. Have you seen videos about mosquitoes?
I just like this guy starving to death and Jeff going, yeah, but the mosquitoes.
Dude, you should see some of the footage that I shot while I was out there. You'd see me start a roll. And you'd see mosquitoes in the foreground just like buzzing around. And then I'd be holding the roll. And then all of a sudden before I cut, you just see me shake. Because like I start rolling and then I start feeling a mosquito there.
Yeah.
Mosquito there.
Crawling
mosquito there.
Every...
Mosquito there.
Ugh,
yeah.
Gross.
It's insane. And that was the nice portion of the year in the summer.
Dude. So that was poor storytelling. They did not explore the mosquito angle of Alaska, which they really should have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, takes me on to the I'll jump on the moose thing too. I have some things that I just need to say about this dude.
Yeah, go nuts, man.
Like, he saw a moose and I don't know in what world he kills that moose with one shot with the gun that he has, because that is like, if I saw a moose, I wouldn't be going for that thing with the, what I
know.
I
whenever when he shoots him, I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to get wrecked. You think you're keeping that meat?
Well, that too. That's the second thing I want to follow on. I was like, how are you going to handle this? Like, you should have gotten the deer, if anything, from earlier.
Yes, 100%. Why'd you let the deer? it was odd that he shot the moose. Yeah. But again, that's a real thing that's in his, because he was taking journals.
Right, all those little entries.
He was taking multiple journals, and he took his camera, and he took a lot of photos, too.
Okay.
Like, in the movie, they show the photo of him sitting in front of his bus, which is really him. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot like Emil Hirsch. Mm-hmm. There's one. And then I think there's the last photo of him before he died was, it was like a Polaroid of him holding a note waving, and it was like, you know, I've lived a happy life, mm-hmm. blah blah blah,
yeah,
I'm gonna die, crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that this story takes a lot of people emotionally, you know, it holds a lot of I don't know how to say this, mm-hmm. a lot of people love this and mm-hmm. think of this as a like
inspiring or something,
inspiring love story. A lot of people have tried, you know, in 2020 they took the bus out. They helicoptered that bus out of where it was because too many people were trying to hike out there and dying, or having to be rescued.
Yeah.
Or because this is the other side of, like, he's kind of a little bit, some people don't love him. A lot of Alaskans I read think he was kind of stupid and mm-hmm. foolish and like disrespectful, mm-hmm. just walk out into you weren't like prepared.
Mm-mm.
And as I'm watching it this time, I really was like leaning on the side that this is less of, it is very outdoorsy, they do a lot of stuff outdoors, it is Alaska, they talk about how great it is out here, and I love that side, but it's not so much of, you know, I want to go into the wilderness because I love the wilderness, or I love you know, being outside and surviving on my own and stuff. It felt much more like a mentally unstable dude, kid in a horrible life and super depressed and just trying to find himself. And his ass just walked into the desert and committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't actually kill himself, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But like, dude, you walked down to the wilderness of Alaska with no food,
which he's never been to before,
no equipment, like, god, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's, well, I mean, it's
the first thing that stuck out to me on that subject was when you were talking about earlier when he ditched his car. I was just like, oh, mm-hmm. cool, let's just ditch that car in the middle of this fucking area.
Yeah.
And then he walked away burning his cash and just walked away from it. And this was like, this is like in Arizona, dude. It's like, you don't just let things burn and walk away from
it. Yes, I know. Yeah, that also.
From Colorado. We have fires and sensitive subject.
I know we do. Wait, nowadays we can. Nowadays it's
moderate fire restrictions right now.
We can go right now. Yeah. Yeah, he burned his ID, his cash, his Social Security card.
Yeah.
Like, it was very much of more of a pie in the sky kid that is just lost, which I think also speaks to people.
Mm-hmm.
It might, I don't know if it necessarily gives a good message to those kids that are absolutely lost
mm-hmm.
in, you know, abusive homes and watching parents do horrible things and mm-hmm. Just wanting to escape. You know, he didn't do it the best way, but it was a fun. And I thought they did fantastic of, like, we went on the adventure with him.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit of a, you know, coming of age thing, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's, there's a handful of movies like that can go either way these days. Like, there are, where, like you just literally said, you're along for the ride. And you don't know, like, it's not like your typical storyline structures a lot of times, too. Like, maybe it is in some ways, but it's a little more mm-hmm. hidden because it's just, like, point A to point B, and we're along the way with whatever zigzags and things that go along mm-hmm. with that. It's, like, it's harder to anticipate what's going to happen. Which is, sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's a little tedious, just depends on the movie. This one felt fine to me, though. Like, it kept me intrigued. Maybe that's because I do enjoy the outdoors and I have been enjoying traveling over the last like 5 or 6 years or so quite a bit. It's like when he went to like the different beaches in the north Pacific Northwest. Yes. I was just like, oh, that looks like Oregon and like Northern yep. California. Like, that's fucking awesome. Then, you know, going through Arizona, Colorado, like Utah looking stuff. Like, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It, oh my God. I mean, this one of, it did a good job with the landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like we said before, I mean, you know, wow, they made, so impressive. They made these gorgeous outdoors look gorgeous, which, mm-hmm. oh, crazy. But there was a lot, like, yeah, they shot, here are the thing, filming locations.
Ooh.
Oh my God. There is a butt ton.
I'm sure they actually went to all these places.
Holy crap.
They weren't really into green screen. That green screen wasn't that big yet.
Oregon and Alaska, their Grand Canyon National Park.
Oh, sick.
Cheyenne Studios, Vegas, Nevada, California, Arizona. I'm not reading all these. Lake Mead, Hot Springs, South Dakota, bunch in South Dakota, bunch in Mexico. They went to Mexico. Oh my God, I'm not reading all these. But so the one that I got excited about is one of the places that they shot is Astoria, Oregon, which I have been to, and okay. it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, nice.
I wonder where they shot in there in Astoria. It's right on the
edge. It had to have been the area when they're like, I was with Jan and Rainey, I think, and they were on the beach, because that's what looked very Oregon to me.
Yes, you know what? I think so, because Astoria is very super far northwest mm-hmm. in the corner, mm-hmm. and you can like cross over into Washington mm-hmm. At the bridge. So there's a big a lot of water around mm-hmm. there too. And then there's a state, I think there was a state national park maybe, or state park mm-hmm. on the other side of the bridge. So it's really close to water and mm-hmm. those big, gorgeous trees. That was gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, God, this was, so even outside of like the Handycam, the home video style,
yeah.
you know, a little shaky, a little interesting, different stuff. They also had great wide landscape shots. Mm-hmm. That were gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying about the story, sometimes it can be confusing because, yeah, they did do basically two running storylines and they would jump back into the past.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Which I thought they did a good job, and this kind of will go along with Challengers to me, is I'm okay with this story because this story style and editing style, because this is they kept it in order, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like we had the two different starting points
mm-hmm.
of the two different storylines, and then it was moving forward at the same time. Not necessarily the same pace, but it was always moving forward
yes.
of where we were last in the other one. Yeah. So we jump back and forth, but you knew where you were, kind of.
Yeah, no, I mean, they did it in a way that made sense, right? Like, they started with the present, where he was, like, starting to just go up into the Alaska wilderness.
Yep.
And then they did a flashback, and then that's when that second timeline started. The flashback just continued forward, and we kept seeing more of his past leading up to that certain point, which was a lot of fun, because they did it in a really cool way with, like, up to the details with where his belt came from, that it was all like had all the imprints on it and like his story. And then by the time he made that belt, we knew about his entire story, right before he got to Alaska. They did it really good.
The belt is all, hey, movie prop, that belt, that moose head.
You can hang it next to all your other monsters and creatures that you have.
I saw when he was carrying it, I was like, movie prop?
Yeah. No way it's that light.
They used a belt very interesting of the kind of, you know, it was a meter of his mm-hmm. health.
Yeah, totally.
When it was getting skinnier and skinnier, mm-hmm. like worrisome skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, then he started plumping back out when there was food.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty creative.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about the beginning? Because I wrote down, for someone who doesn't know what the story is, they don't give you any information early. It's a while before there's real like dialogue and information. I mean, the poem mm-hmm. is the most information. It tells us a lot about family and what his mindset and where he is and stuff, but up until then they didn't tell you shit.
Yeah, I mean, it all seemed fine and made sense to me. Like, you could tell that he had a troubled life at home, Or at least maybe like to we didn't know further details that early in the movie yet, but you could tell that he wasn't comfortable with it. And like just that lifestyle, and wasn't attached to like monetary value or anything like that. So all that made sense to me. Trying to think of what else. It played out fine as far as I can tell. Like I was there for the ride, and I was taking all that information in.
You didn't get too lost.
Not necessarily. No.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is definitely a movie that if you like poetry, there's a shit ton of poetry and like literature,
right?
Just quotes and whatnot.
Oh yeah. I mean, he starts off at like very dived into like the rhetoric of like all these famous people that I don't know if all of them are considered poets, but like they have like very well-known like quotes in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like I've heard of plenty. I don't know who did which one. I'd have to look it up real quick, but you know, I've heard of them.
I believe you. That's enough for me. I'm okay with that. I believe in you. Let's see. How'd you feel about the sister narrating?
I thought it was fine. But then she kind of just trailed off like halfway through. Mm-hmm. Like she all of a sudden disappeared and she wasn't the narrator anymore until like the very end.
Skipped out for a bit.
Yeah, I thought her character was going to have more influence at some point or another. Like I thought he was going to come back home at some point maybe. I didn't know this story prior to either about McCandless. Yep. So I thought maybe something was going to happen. She was going to get more screen time, but it was literally just like you see her. Like, as the movie progressed from the very beginning, you saw and heard less of her as time went on.
This is true. Yeah, I wonder if they're trying to, like, get him farther away from his old life. You know, we watch this clean-cut family man at the beginning of the movie, and by the end, we're down to, you know, he's alone in the wilderness, really far away from civilization.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
They used her character very interestingly in a midway point, though, where she, maybe not quite midway, maybe like a third of the way through, but she mentions that, like, why didn't he call? Like, he could have, like, hung up if it wasn't me or something like that. And then that was basically the end of it. Like, it kind of makes you feel bad for her and kind of, like, you see the situation where he gives the older dude that quarter or whatever. But at that point, I was kind of just thinking, like, this guy's just looking for excuses not to like reconnect with his home and his family and loved ones and stuff.
So that's why it kind of, when you look into it, when you look at it in the terms of like, he was, you know, if this wasn't a driven kid, he'd be a homeless, you know, in a city somewhere, but he was smart enough and he was driven enough and he was motivated enough that he was able to, you know, get jobs and bounce around and had some motivation, but it's why it was less of, I love the wilderness and I want to live in the wilderness and you guys can't stop me from disappearing into the woods, to I just have to get, I don't feel at home anywhere. I don't feel like I should be in the society. So I'm going to remove myself from everything, even the people who love me that actually, you know, matter to me, which I met a bunch on the way too. I still left all of them because for whatever the hell's in his head. He just decided, you know what, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and it's interesting now that you said that, it kind of like pointed out something to me, to the fact that as his timeline progresses, the relationships he makes with people get stronger and stronger, because like it starts with his sister, like, which was like normal, whatever, and then you meet Jan and Rainey, and he does come back to them at a certain point when like the relationship is even getting more established and better.
Yep.
But then it climaxes with Ron's character when he's literally.
You trying to say they did stuff? Wow, man.
Oh my! I didn't say shit.
Climax.
But the most powerful moment was with this relationship.
Ron exploded his emotions onto him.
Yeah, ding dong.
ding dong. They did that outside. We could have done that.
Yeah, ding dong.
Sorry,
you're good. But no,
the
like that relationship
was
probably the
too far.
Was probably the most powerful. Like, he was literally asking to adopt this dude. He did
for real.
And he basically turned him down, and he turned down everybody at some point or another.
Yep, many people reached out to help, to love, to comfort, and he still time and time again, mm-hmm. pulled back and just decided, you know what? I don't belong here. And then he just went out into, and it's depressing that he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even more depressing, apparently I read this, because he didn't have maps, again, didn't go out there with maps. He didn't go out there with anything.
He was making his own.
shut up. He,
the river's here, therefore.
He was apparently where he tried to cross and then got fucked up and really like everything fell apart after that. Well, relative, you know, he was starving going into that, but
yeah,
he fell into the water, couldn't cross it. Apparently half a mile away from there, I think downstream, there was like a man-powered cable car that you could cross, that you could use to cross. But he didn't know about it because he was not prepared. So he fell into the river and then went back and died in his fucking bus.
Yeah. Damn.
Which I don't know if they called it the magic bus before he got there. I don't know if he called it the magic bus. Maybe he did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he watched a lot of, what was that teacher?
Magic School Bus.
Yeah, Ms. Frizzle. Magic School Bus.
Yeah, I kept thinking that every time.
Hell yeah. You didn't have a real childhood, so I never know if I can reference those. Those TV shows and stuff, because you didn't watch any like Disney. But that was, couldn't even begin to tell you what network that was on, the Magic School Bus.
Oh, God, whatever one I was watching all the kids stuff on. PBS? Maybe it was PBS.
Oh, I bet you it was PBS.
Yeah, because Arthur was soon after probably, and...
Arthur. Magic School Bus. How many episodes do you think there was?
Oh, man. There had to have been, I want to say like, oh, God, maybe like 50?
Oh, Jeff, 52. Nice.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was originally going to say 100, and I was like, no, now that I'm thinking about it. Then I was like, 80? No, 60? Probably closer to 50.
I mean, you are so much closer than I would have guessed. Franklin, Arthur. All right, anyway, sorry. That's Magic School Bus. Where were we? Let's see. Do you have anything else?
I mean, I have more things. Like, I just have notes of being like, this kid was... kind of just not, he was not respectful of a lot of things. Like, one thing, so as you know, I've been doing like some agriculture video work for like the last like 3-4 years or something, and when it was a small scene, probably no one else thinks about this but me, but when he was bathing in the like the pivot sprinkler system, I was just like,
he fucked up some crops.
I was like, ooh, showering in the pivot like sprinkler system.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I don't think farmers will be too Central happy with pivot. That. That water's for the crops.
Yeah, for real. Absolutely.
And then he's putting chemicals into it.
On my freaking crops. Get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Central pivot sprinkler system.
And then he's also causing like massive erosion when he kicks those boulders down into the river. He's changing the structure of that river, which could have massive effects of like the ecosystems down the way. And
that goes back to, hey, he was not an outdoors, you know, he's not 127 hours where he like generally is. He knows all the shit. He's smart. He all this crap. It's much more of, you know what? Fuck everything. I'm gone.
It's like,
I'm out.
This is just about me now.
Yeah. I wish I could live on the train. That'd be sweet. I really want to do that on the train.
And
for
then
a
poke
bit.
Your head out and get smashed.
And get the shit beat out of me. That dude is scary.
I literally thought to myself, like, that made me jump. I did not expect that.
Everything was going fairly chill.
I just like wrote down. I was like, oh shit, that's what happens if you jump on a train. Okay.
I have you ever tried to pace a train?
To what train?
Yeah, okay, so multiple times I've been near trains.
Okay, yeah, you live by them.
Well, yes, those also. It's that way. No, was it? When we were in Des Moines and I got really drunk when we went to the rodeo and I was unplugging the railroad crossing thing. Did you know it's just like an XLR. That's all the cable was. I assumed it would be something proprietary fancy. Cable. It was, anyways. But when I was drunk, I was trying to pace the train. I absolutely could have got on it if I wanted to.
Pace the train. Does that mean just like keeping up speed
with
it?
Like run next to it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Keep pace and then you grab onto it.
Yeah.
You don't want to just stand there and put your arm out and the train goes by and you just grab it and get dragged along.
Your arm would just stay with it, probably.
That would be hilarious. Painful, but hilarious. Yeah.
Okay, so you were, yeah, you were one of those people that kind of ran around trains and stuff and forget about the dangers.
It's fine. Don't get under. It's fine.
I'm not that drunk.
Trains aren't that dangerous. I was also running around gas stations, and I was running around the freaking rodeo being a jackass because I was like, oh, this is so horrible. And then they had a concert after, and the song that they played in between the concert, the rodeo and the concert, was the Jurassic Park theme. It was the weirdest, okay. One of the weirdest nights of my life, but we don't have time to get into it.
Interesting. Interesting.
I was super drunk at the,
you're like,
rodeo.
Is this really happening right now?
Dude, I was, because especially I was talking about, I think I skipped going to the movie theater to see Jurassic Park to go to it because they all want to do it and go. And I was like, fine, whatever. I'll hang out with them.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it was a lot.
Been there.
Let's see. I definitely had something else. I don't like to, do you think, I'm always fascinated by these directors that are not necessarily one and done, but they only have like one big one. Mm-hmm. Like Sean Penn directed this.
Yeah.
What? I mean, he does not have a lot of directing
right.
credits. Or even like, let me just phrase this. He doesn't have a lot of good directing credits other than this.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it was like just one of those movies that he was just like, man, I'd really like to play this character, but you know, maybe I really like this story. I'll turn it into something and kind of like directed as if I would have been that character kind of thing. I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Almost like a voyeuristic point of view of like, because like the last thing I saw him in was, the Walter Mitty movie with, Ben Stiller.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing that one. The something fantastic, something adventures
life,
of Walter Mitty.
Yeah. Something like that.
Life and Adventure Walter Mitty.
I keep wanting to say The Sweet Life, but I know that's not right.
Sweet Life of Walter Mitty.
Of Zach and Cody.
The Adventures of Zach and Cody. But yeah, I don't know. Like, and this kind of goes into, I think, that I've been saying for a while about, oh, you know, everyone goes, oh, I wish we had another sequel to this or sequel to that. Oh, if only there was another Dark Knight, you know, with Heath Ledger. I think quite often, and like more than people want to admit, there's sometimes, God, shut up, camera. There's just sometimes that everything melds perfectly. And it's just like you catch this person in a good mood, and you have a correct mindset here, you get the right people all together, and it's just kind of like a flash in the pan. And it's a one-time thing that, you know, you're not going to be able to recapture this magic of the set that we had of, you know, the summer of 2006 when we shot this, you know? And it's really because, dude, he's got, what, the Indian Runner. He's got The Last Face. Flag Day, Superpower. Nothing has above, other than his music videos, I don't think anything has above a 6. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, sorry. The Pledge is at 6.8.
Yeah. I thought Daddy-O said dildo. I was like, what is this movie?
let me look this one up.
Yeah, I mean, because I take it you're looking at all those directing things.
Yeah, just
as
directing.
I just looked at his general list at the moment.
I know. Another, you said it would be, maybe it's something that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like act himself. Apparently, two things. One, he waited, I guess, like 10 years before he made this movie, before he like originally wanted to start making it. When he was originally thinking about it, he was thinking about some people.
Ooh.
Originally, oh yeah. So, Sean Penn once envisioned Leonardo DiCaprio to play Chris and Marlon Brando to play Ron. So that's how long ago he was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Interesting.
Exactly. So he thought about it for a long time, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just like this one has been his kind of passion project. Maybe his first one that he thought about forever.
Yeah.
Another one that apparently at one point, Chris was going to be played by Shia LaBeouf. whatever, how do you pronounce his stupid ass name? I think that would have been amazing. Like, not that not that I want to replace Emile Hirsch, but I love Shia, and I think he could have done, he could have knocked it out of the park also. And that would have been a very interesting version to see.
Was he in the,
I think it much,
was he the right age for that too? Like, what year did the first Transformers come out? Cause I,
the first Transformers.
God, how old
am I? Just tell you.
2007. So yes,
he was born in 86.
Okay.
And Hirsch was born in 85. So he's 1 year younger than Emile Hirsch.
So yeah, he was in the right age range.
Yeah, I think he would have killed it. We would have gotten, I'm sure we would have gotten a lot more of a manic Chris than Emile did.
Yeah, but
Hirsch,
I thought Shia LaBeouf always that way? Like, I didn't really start realizing that he was that way until he, you know, the 2010s, I mean, maybe, or something.
You know, I imagine, you know, I don't think he came out the womb like a, like, you know, manic, but things build. But I think Emile has the sweet side.
He's the very, like, somber style.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, Shia
LaBeouf.
I'm not even going to say it. Fuck it. Shia has much of a, I just don't see him in a lot of roles that he is that, like, you know, quiet, calm, sweet kid necessarily.
He's very, like, energetic.
Yes, right? Which I think him in the wild, we would have gotten maybe a better version of him in the wild, but a worse version of him interacting with people.
Right.
So I did really like the Emile Hirsch interaction with people, and it makes sense to me that people, you know, fell in love with him on the road and as they were going, of how much they liked him, because, you know, he did a fantastic job. We didn't really talk about it in the acting, but I think, you know, Hal Holbrook, Ron, did a fantastic job, but Emile did a fuck ton of heavy lifting, and
quite literally
seen in and seen out, I think he did fantastic. Dude, oh my God, that
was
horrible.
Be brutal.
I was like, bro, just go take your ticket. Get over it. Jesus.
Or send your kayak down the river and just bail, dude. I don't know.
Just flip over. Apparently they were looking for him for a long time. That's what they said. Because they were getting a lot of reports about him.
Interesting.
Because people were concerned about him going through busy and dangerous rafts without safety gear.
Yeah. Well, in what world is someone afraid of water doing that?
I know.
Like, I don't want to do that.
I think you should have put afraid of water.
I know, quotations, for sure.
Yeah,
oh
quote unquote, afraid of water. All right. Yeah, you got more?
Oh, I mean, I was going to say, I'm looking at the technical specs, and so they definitely did shoot it all in film. I don't know if you remember from the CFS days, but there was an Aton 35 film camera. That was one of the film cameras they had in the CFS cage.
Yeah, totally. They let me touch those.
But they used a mix of, like, Zeiss, Ingenue, and Canon lenses. All great choices. And then they had Ari cams as well. So, like, they changed up some film cameras, which I feel like for film makes sense when you're, like, rigging it on the side of a train for, like, a ton of those shots, or putting it in the water. Like, it's kind of like how, say, for, like, the set of cameras I have, like, the A7S III camera that I'm using right here is my small body camera that I will take into, like, a cave or something and hold it over water, versus the Red camera that I have now. I'm, like, not bringing that out into all these, like, crazy situations and shit, so.
Oh, guys, I have a Red. I don't know if anybody. Oh, did you bring it up? Oh, I guess I'll bring it up. Oh, guys.
I'm only bringing it up because you brought it up.
In case anybody wants to hire me. I'm way too busy.
I didn't say that. Not that. Maybe hire me after my truck gets fixed.
We're going to need to buy a whole new truck. That would be so messed up.
I'll trade my camera for the new truck, please.
Hey, there's an extra vehicle in my garage if you want it. It doesn't work, but I'm sure you could take it off Kyle's hands.
Is it literally just sitting there?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
About to roll that shit out and just get it towed. Scratch off all the fucking VIN numbers and whatnot.
Oh, man. Ooh, one other thing I wanted to bring up. There was, do you remember the weird, like super slow motion, like it was either out of focus or very low resolution, like shower. He was like showering or something. Like he was just like shaking his head and water was flying everywhere. But it was like, so like it had to have been like 120, 240 frames. Like,
I think so.
Like it was very, very interesting. That was like the only shot I saw in like that sort of slow motion style, but it was very, it reminded me of Baywatch, just like the slow motion for the sake of slow motion.
Wilderness Watch. It was running into the forest to kill a deer. He definitely did. We had some slow motion here and there.
Yeah. They just tried and did a lot of things, which was interesting.
I was going to say they did do a lot of a good amount of like experimental stuff that you wouldn't necessarily like we were talking about the glitching in the city. Mm-hmm. You know, it's generally not a thing that you'd be like, oh, you know, let's do this style.
Right.
Especially
for editing film. It's like interesting. It's a different mindset. Thinking about film now.
That is very true. I didn't register that until you said it. Mm-hmm. They were editing on film also.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. And there's no way Sean Penn like converted it to digital, then edited it. Sean Penn seems too intense for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, Sean Penn to me is the dude from the Walter Mitty movie.
You think? Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any of his older stuff or anything. So to me, he's this like rugged dude that's just like, sometimes I don't take the shot.
Yeah.
Which
again, I agree with that. That is
a little bit
of
a sidebar, but me as a photographer, I'm taking that fucking shot.
Absolutely.
And then I will appreciate the moment.
I hate it when the people are like, oh, look at all these kids taking photos. It took 2 seconds. And you know what? I'm now going to remember it. It's not like I close my eyes and the only time I open them is to take a photo and then I sprint
like,
away from it.
Same thing with a solar eclipse that happened this year. It's like,
oh my God,
there was only, it's only like 7 minutes of that totality, but I was taking shots. And then I stopped and then looked at it once I felt like I had the shot.
Yeah. And then when I'm sitting on a plane at some point, I will be looking at photos and videos and reminiscing because I have both experiences. And you old fucks will be staring at the back of the chair being like, oh, God, I need to experience my day. Assholes.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
But Sean Penn's cool. We think of him as that. Still a good line, though. Sometimes I don't even take the photo.
Yeah. It's like that's cool for you, dude, but I would take that photo of that snow leopard.
I also haven't seen that movie. So
you
in my mind
that?
That's no, I haven't. Oh, that's all
man.
I know about it.
Oh, you need to see it.
I do. Hey, I agree with that.
Does that count as war?
Look at let's roll into ratings unless you have anything else.
No, I think I'm content.
Let's see. Oh, I guess I was gonna say, do you want to go first? But I guess I have to.
Yeah, it's your unofficial choice, so you should unofficially go first.
Unofficial official choice. All right, let's see.
It's movie time.
That will never change.
Let's see.
I am...
Look at you getting fancy here. Screen fancy. Sharing.
Fancy. All right, let me see.
Fancy.
I really do enjoy this. I don't... It's definitely not in the nines for me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's going to be in the eights for me.
Okay.
I think it's the low eights-ish. I'm hoping I can see something... When I'm looking at my list of stuff, I think I'm going to put it along the lines of like The Nice Guys, Past Lives, The Holdovers. I think I'm going to go 8 flat.
Okay.
I really, really like this. I think about this multiple times. It's in pop culture. I think they did a pretty damn good job. I think some like small writing stuff felt a little cheesy to me, like, you know, some dialogues and some scenes here and there. I think, you know what? 8.25.
Okay.
I like when they put, you know, non-actors in it real people there. I know I'm making fun of that love guy, but I like when they do that. It gives you that genuine, you know, they might not be the greatest actors of all time and give you the best performance, but it gives you realism, yeah. Which is what this movie was. This movie was like a very grand adventure, whether, you know, it was the smartest adventure or not, or, you know, he should have done it, he shouldn't have done it. We honestly, you know, we have debates on whether the ultimate thing that Chris McCandless should have done or shouldn't have done. But in terms of entertaining me and the movie, it was a long movie and a slow pacing, but I maybe got bored like once, maybe, you know, check the time once, maybe twice max, but it kept me entertained. I liked the choices they made. I liked the acting, you know, I think, you know, like we said, Ron knocked it out.
Yep.
Hal knocked it out. I thought Emil knocked it out. So I'm going to go with 8.25. Yeah. 8.25.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And this, like, how many viewings is this for you? Like, would this be like in the handful range?
Probably like third or fourth.
Okay. So handful.
In my mind, honestly, I would say three. Three would be my, this would probably be my third.
Interesting. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the similar range as you, but just more shifted towards what my ratings are, because I'm literally looking at my list of ratings and you rated it very similarly to and close to like how you felt about like the Fall Guy and some other ones like that.
Yep. Going a little above.
Yeah. And I should probably rewatch this movie because of what was happening these past couple of days for me between prepping for a shoot and then trying to go to the shoot and then have like everything, like I had to watch it in segments. Overall, I thought it was a good and solid movie. I do like these kinds of storylines, but it's for some reason it didn't hit home for me in the sense of like, I need to watch this again someday or recommend it to people. So it's more falling along the lines to me in a 7.5.
Okay.
I did think it was solid. I did enjoy it, but I'm not like coming out of it like I do say like for me mostly Christopher Nolan movies and being just like, wow, that was like really fun and exciting, or I
most Christopher Nolan movies are above 8.25 also, I feel like. Yeah. Actually, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the kind of dramatic storytelling I enjoy. This one's a slightly different style, but I did enjoy it in the same tier as, like, say, movies like Talk to Me. I thought it was pretty well done. For me, Talk to Me was a 7.5. I thought it was solid, but I'm also not, like, racing back to be like, oh, when is it getting released on streaming so I can watch it again? I'll watch it again at some point, but I'm not rushing to it. But, yeah, solid movie. I enjoyed it.
And also, you know, I get nostalgia since this is the first time you watched it. You know, I watched it, I don't know, 10 years ago probably. And not that you're not outdoorsy, but like, let's be honest, this is my jam. You know, and also the, you know, we said the adventure, you know, road trip movie.
Yeah,
that's again, that's another thing that I love, is like, I love those adventure, you know, start at A and end up halfway across the freaking country, completely different people, you know, that's definitely you know, ideally my shit. Yeah. So
would you ever do something like this to his extent?
Not to his extent. Okay. I'm not insane. I keep my money absolutely in I could absolutely go live on the road for, I have 2 weeks, and like I could probably do a month and then come home.
Yeah,
maybe 2 months, but yeah, I, you know, not to the extreme of going to Alaska. I'm not that guy. I want to play some disc golf while I'm going. I want to do some.
Yeah.
We'll see I want to see a movie while I'm out and about. Sure. Swing through a town to see a movie.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, that is Into the Wild.
Yep. Bonus Movie Club.
Bonus Movie Club. Next week, we have Castaway, which I am very excited. You've seen Castaway, right, Jeff?
I have, yeah. It's been years at this point, but I used to watch it pretty consistently when I was younger.
Brandon has never seen it, so tune back in next week to hear Brandon's opinions. First time watching Castaway. I'm sure we'll talk about it a long time. I mean, that's just a, it's technically my pick. That is just a,
this whole aesthetic.
Tom Hanks freaking flex for entire movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Freaking, you want to fall in love with an inanimate object?
Yeah, best supporting actor, Wilson.
Yes. Oh my God, he would have definitely beat Hal Brooks. We did the other movie. Oh, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yep.
Right now is Into the Wild. Next week is 127. Nope. Next week is Castaway. The following week, roughly somewhere, will be 127 Hours. Those will be the four movies that we do for this month's movie club outdoors. Check it out. I do have a request actually for everybody. If anybody is kind of like watching the movies as we go, when I watched this one, and Jeff, have you seen 127 Hours?
I have not.
So when I was watching this one, some of the editing and some of the camera work kind of honestly gave me the 127 Hour vibe. So I think 127 Hours like took some inspiration and camera style, editing style, not exact by any means, but
Did you mean Into the Wild vibe?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
You said 127 Hours vibe. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So when you're watching it and if everyone else is watching it, maybe keep that in mind and see if I'm crazy. And it'll be exciting to see if I am correct and if there is some. Because one of the things that everybody loves for Isolation is, hey, let's get a shot in the air of a airplane coming flying overhead. That shows Isolation. You're going to see that in 127 Hours also.
Interesting.
Sweet. Check out Thursday episodes. We talked about the new ones that are coming out, you know, Fall Guy, Furiosa, Challengers, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Fall Guys. We've talked about all those. Go back, check those episodes out. Brandon, Luke, and Shitty Matt. No, I'm joking. Secondary Matt are all talking about Fallout, the TV show. Nice. So if anybody likes the TV show.
Or the games.
Or the games. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of those things, so someone tell me. So check that out. It's going to be another series, like the Last of Us series that we did where we watched the show and then talked about each episode week, each week. So definitely make sure you come check that out. We got games coming. We got YouTube. We got Instagram. We got Facebook. We got hella shit for everybody.
Nice.
Pardon my fucking French. You got anything else on the way out, Jeff?
No.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. Yeah. Thanks, sir. Thanks for everybody tuning in and enjoy the movies. Bye.
Bye.